Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Okay, we are off and running for another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. Thanks for joining us tonight. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio. Across the way, George P. Fraser, poet, philosopher, Renaissance man, all words that would not apply to George.
No argument here?
No, I figure there'd be no argument. And of course, on the board tonight, Alex, who celebrated a monumental birthday on Friday.
What a great party. Wasn't that fun, Bill?
Oh, it was so fun. yeah, I wasn't invited to that party, George.
I wasn't either. I guess you just invite your friends.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens. And you're not on that list. Anyway, happy
that's
birthday.
That's how parties usually work, yeah.
Happy birthday, Alex. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, George, to get things started, I had this little radio skit that I just put together with Alex. And I didn't really tell you about it because, you know, let's have some surprises on the show.
Yeah.
So Alex and I are going to do this little radio sketch. Going to be about probably a minute or less. And it's really based on reading Psalm 139 this morning. Okay?
Okay.
So here we go. All right. Psalm 139 answers so many questions for the man who has surrendered to God, like our guest tonight, who has surrendered to God. So this answers so many of the questions for the man who has surrendered to God. And I will ask the questions, and Alex will play the voice of God. How about that?
That's very appropriate.
Thank you. Here we go. All right, let's start asking the questions, and the voice of God will give the answers. Do you completely know me?
Thoroughly.
Are you interested in me?
Completely.
Are you close?
Intimately.
Can I hide from you?
No.
Even if I try to run from you?
No.
When I feel alone, what is reality?
You're never alone.
What is our relationship?
I made you, designed you skillfully.
Do I have a purpose?
Every second of your life has purpose.
How should I think about my life?
Think God's thoughts.
Do you have an enemy that is also my enemy?
Yes, don't mess with my enemy.
See, there we go. That concludes our skit.
Ask him what the price of oil is going to do.
No, I just thought there's a testimony from Psalm 139 of a man who has surrendered.
I like that.
There's nowhere you can run. There's nowhere you can go. God has designed you. Every second of your life has purpose. And don't mess with his enemy. It's his enemy. He'll deal with them.
You know, I really like that part. We try to do God's part on our own, and we get in trouble.
Constantly.
We get in a lot of trouble.
We play Junior Holy Spirit, and that complicates life. Life. Anyway, George, welcome to the program. We want to do one of the steps tonight. I think we're on step three.
Very good. We are on step three.
Unos, dos, tres.
Oh, we went to one and two the last 2 weeks, so you've been paying attention.
I have been.
Step three is we admit it to God. We turn our life over to God because we make a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand him. But I want to go back to one and two. We talked about one, that really we try to play God. That's why we get in our problems. And our life isn't unmanageable. We're powerless over everything. But we have a God who is completely sovereign. Our next breath comes at the mercy of an all-sovereign God. And what you and Alex just talked about, he has it. He's got it covered.
Totally.
So we get into step two, where we come to believe that God can restore us to sanity. Now, you and I were talking earlier today. We don't do that very often because we're not that close during the week, but we are on the show, about that a lot of us believe lies as the truth and act upon them.
Say that again.
We believe lies as the truth and act upon them. And that is insanity. I've got this. I don't need to bother God. I've got a handle. You know, I can use again. This time it'll be different. All little things. I deserve this. Well, where we get in trouble.
George, what about if we have incorrect information about God or incorrect information about what the Bible teaches because we've taken a verse out of context, and now all of a sudden we're kind of using that as a life verse or something? I mean, seriously, there could be some problems with that as well.
Well, we get into problems because our God can be too small or our definition of God is not right. We have to be in the Word so we know what God says. God is who he says he is. There's no surprises here.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about Psalm 139, I believe. We know who God is if we spend time in the Word and time listening to him and praying to him. So you have to spend time. But here's the good thing. God's will is going to happen. All we have to do is go along with it. And step three really is that God's will is going to happen. I've got a hard time believing that God wants anybody to be addicted to chemicals, to not have a relationship with him, and to sin. But here's the deal. We do that because we go our own way. He doesn't force us. So what I want to talk about tonight just a little bit, Bill, is we need to get a program where we're turning it over to God and walking with him every day. And when I wake up, I pray to God before I get out of bed for the power, strength, and desire to stay sober today. And then I do my little daily bread. I know you have a devotional, but we've got to get into a program of habit of going to God right away, not working him in over the lunch hour. It's a war out there. It's a spiritual war, and you got to leave the house ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And every time I think when you use any drugs or chemical or get engaged in addictive behavior, you are basically diminishing yourself. You're producing less of yourself, and that's not what God ever intended.
Well, it's pretty hard for us to think that God wants us to be drunk and addicted to drugs.
Or in the casino gambling away next month's rent.
Or drunk in the casino gambling away next month's rent. Yes.
Or drunk in the casino gambling next month's rent doing something else on top of it. That's illegal.
Okay.
I just didn't go there with all the details, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay, George, so let's talk about the reality of what it is, a sin or an offense made by an addict needs to first be a repentance of sin to the God of the Scriptures.
Could you say that in English?
Yeah. Is that over your head?
Oh, yeah. It's like reading the King James.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Alex, did you get that?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Did you get it?
Every word.
See,
okay.
Thank you, voice of God, you know, in my previous skit. And if you didn't hear that skit, you're going to want to download that episode.
I'm going to anyway.
I know you are. A sin or an offense made by an addict needs to be first a repentance of sin to the God of the Scriptures.
Okay. And not just addicts.
Why is that so hard to understand?
And not just addicts.
I get that, but I'm saying this is a show on recovery from addictions.
Is it?
Yeah, if you were paying attention the last 4 years. And sin is a fatal wound that will cause eternal separation.
Right.
So, big problem.
It is a big problem, and we can't fix it. That's the other thing. When you are in trouble, you don't even want to fix it. The real miracle comes when God touches us and says, I have a way out, and actually changes our heart to where you want to change. The three pertinent ideas. I'm alcoholic, and I can't save myself. No human power can, but God can and will if he saw it. That's what we need to look at, Bill. And I need to turn this over and submit. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me as you want to. Take away my selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
That. You know, others may see what I'm doing that will glorify you. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him.
I love it. George, in Proverbs 14, it says, each heart knows its own bitterness, nor can anyone share even its joy. I think we're deep down, you know, you talk about delusion, you talk about denial, but I think deep down we do have a sense of what the problem is in our heart. Because usually the drugs, the gambling, the whatever it is, the porn, whatever you're using to medicate the pain is something you're probably aware of in your heart, but it's not getting to the surface somehow.
The Bible tells us that happy is the man who does not condemn that which he does. In other words, we know, as you're saying, Bill, that we're doing the wrong thing. The problem is we can't help it. And after a while, you're a prisoner. You're in bondage. And there's only one name that can free you, and that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, our guest tonight, we're going to bring him on in just a little bit. You know, we're going to look at some of these questions. Why are we addicts? Why are we selfish? Why are we needy? Why do we feel that we have to cover our tracks? Why do we have to, what are we trying to make up for? What's missing? What happens in our journey that makes us feel empty, lost, and in a need to medicate?
Good stuff.
It is interesting
well,
stuff.
Well, they're all God substitutes, aren't they?
They all are, yeah. So I think what we're going to do is...
We doing another skit?
No more skits. We're a one-skit show.
Okay. I like the preparation, though.
What do you mean?
Well, you actually prepared that.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did you prepare?
I just brought myself.
That's.
I've been preparing my whole life for this.
82% of the problem on this show. Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Probably. But go ahead.
No, I'm just really excited to hear what God has done in Mike's life tonight.
Exactly. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to have a... very interesting conversation tonight with Mike. He's in studio, so don't go anywhere. This is Real Recovery. Bill, George, Alex is the team tonight. Thanks for being with us. There's that big band music, George. I love it. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Glad you joined us tonight. Bill Arnold, George, Alex, we're here for you. We hope that you can get something out of tonight's show. We are in studio tonight with limited adult supervision, which is just the way we like it. George, I'd like to bring on our guest tonight in studio is a gentleman named Mike, and we're going to hear a story that is going to start now. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. The childlike faith that God gave me while at Teen Challenge 11 years ago feels very at home with you guys.
Good. Thank you. I think that's a compliment, George, but I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know.
Might have just gotten slammed a little bit.
He doesn't
bit
look too worried, so that's good.
No, he said it very calmly. So, Mike, give us a little background of your life. Where did it all start? Are you a Minnesota guy?
I am a Minnesota guy. Actually born almost on the freeway going through Wisconsin. So I'm a Wisconsin guy, but in Minnesota,
okay,
really, for my, and have lived in, lived in a small town, west central Minnesota, Glenwood, Minnesota, most of my life, and spent the last 10, 11 years down here in Minneapolis.
Nice, nice.
Recovery ministry.
Usually if you land as a guest on this show, there is a history of addiction of some kind.
My gosh.
See, George, isn't this interesting?
Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's exactly how it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
give us your story. Tell us how it got started.
Well, when I was in Vietnam, I started using alcohol and marijuana to a degree never used before. It was strictly to not be in that place. 4 years after, somehow Billy Graham got on a TV show in my house, and I listened to it, fell to my knees, gave my life to Christ. 3 years later, end up in a treatment center in Chanhassen that's no longer existing. But
Chanhassen Treatment Center?
Yes, 1978-9. And
I know a guy who was there in 1977 because the state of Minnesota made him go.
Hmm.
Not that he has a resentment about that. I think he worked through that a while ago. Yeah. So you went to Chanhassen Treatment Center.
Yes.
Okay.
And then was armed enough to, I had 23 years sobriety. And, just got ran into situations in my life where just overburdened feeling. I got in touch with it, what it was spiritually later, but I just fell deep into depression back in the late 90s. And I was taken out of my work and started medicating again and ended up going on a Forrest Gump walk and found on the highway 10, 11 years or hours later, taken to the Fergus Falls Psychiatric Ward, and that was an eye-opener. My daughter-in-law came to me then. That was approximately in the 2003. And came up to there before I was released and said, God really spoke it on my heart. This is my oldest son's wife. The Teen Challenge was a place for you to go. And it was three months later that after I hit my rock bottom, I mean, I knew I was in trouble. For 1 year, I couldn't leave the house. And ended up going to my mom's prayer service the night she was dying. She'd been in the Alzheimer ward for 8 years. And within 10 days, my daughter, Katie, drove me to Teen Challenge. I was about 2 feet high at that time. And since then, 5.5 months after Teen Challenge, I came out just renewed, restored, 56 years practicing my Catholic religion, but really got into the Bible at Teen Challenge. But I didn't have any practical application of it. I felt like I was like a child in diapers, really, leaving Teen Challenge, going out to play linebacker for the Vikings. 5.5 months later, I relapse, and at that time, my roommate at Teen Challenge, Pastor Jeff Hill, had opened up a recovery house. And he said, you don't have a clue what your spiritual warfare is. And so then I entered Serenity Village Recovery Ministry back in when there was one house and four of us, which has now grown to 85 beds, largest in the upper Midwest for recovery. And I've just been learning, learning as I've gone, was very active for 3 years at Serenity Village, as the first four houses opened. Then I married my lovely wife, Peg, in 2007 and moved back to Glenwood and started my weekly trip down here to the meetings. Peggy had a vision just a year and a half ago. She said, honey, and this has meant a lot to me. She just had a vision I was going to be having coffee with the guys at Serenity Village more. So we just checked into that and a few months just after that, because we just jumped on that, Pastor Jeff and Monica welcomed me in their house, and I'm live with them Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then go home to Pig Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then all of a sudden a book, a publisher came to the recovery meeting, and, another book is just being finished. It's been quite a ride. Out of our 85 residents, over half of them have over 1 year. They're learning by practical application to serve. That's where this is all about. Probably 50% of our people are teen challenge men and women.
Excellent.
So it's been quite a ride. And then to be here, it's like, wow, especially for an older guy.
Okay, that's a lot of information, guys. So let's go back.
We skipped a number of points there, didn't we?
Well, we're going to go back.
Okay, good.
Because I'm fascinated by this.
First of all, thank you for serving.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, George,
thank you.
George tried to join the Marines, and it lasted 15 minutes. First day of boot camp, he was going, you guys, wait up. And that was his only day.
I think I said it a lot more masculine.
Well, I think you did. No, I don't think you did.
Yeah.
So that lasted 10 minutes.
Well, God honored your desire.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I was in Tampa, Florida. I had my own ward going. Thanks, Arnold. Yes. I want to go back to this. What got you to get into recovery in the first place? What was going on in your life? You said you had 23 years of sobriety.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to go back. What were the factors to get you into recovery? What were you doing to stay sober, and how did it break off? Because I think, guys, a lot of times we hear, wow, you know, a guy has 10 years of sobriety. He's good to go.
Mm.
23 years, you'd think a guy's good to go. We got
the
today.
Case.
We got
not
today.
Case.
So if you could, break that down a little bit.
23
be great.
Years, it's as what you hear is the old plan is still the good plan. I was so busy at our funeral home business that I neglected to go my weekly meetings. No contact with a mentor sponsor. Those are two crucial areas of recovery.
When you were first starting out, were you going to...
Very active in AA and in a Bible study group.
So you had both going, and you were still going to Mass at the time?
Still going to Mass, yeah.
So we've got three legs on that stool, Bill. We have community through church and recovery, probably working with other guys, and you had a mentor.
Yes.
And that worked pretty well?
Probably for 15 to 18 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And then... it's a small town funeral home, and working with my son, and it just got to be overloaded. Two big events also was in the mid-90s. I lost my father, who was very strong in my life, and my father-in-law, who were the men that were teaching me how to be a man.
Okay.
And then they disappeared. And then what I found out to be later, I just had a lot of built-up of unforgiveness issues. So for myself, my depression equals unforgiveness and hanging on to a lot of resentments without addressing my shortcomings.
I can relate. It's easy to let things build up. I think Jesus said, in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
And we have things that get in the way of that.
Yeah.
They distract us. But you were doing a lot of things right, and I guess that's kind of what I want to look at, Bill, is I can be doing a lot of the right things, but if I get in enough pain, I lose some people.
Yeah.
Things come up, I get too busy, I don't take care of myself, and all of a sudden, what happened? Did you go back and start drinking again? Did you think you could handle it?
Well, the first thing that happened there was just sort of an exploratory thing. I didn't understand all of what was going on. I knew something was happening to me, and my father-in-law was a medic in World War II in the Navy, and he had an old bag, and I got a hold of that old bag. I don't know how it was. I mean, it was just such a setup. I look back now, and he had some old morphine pills.
Oh, wow.
So I tried a few of those, even though they're 45, 50 years old. And so even though they didn't have much effect, that was my first step in actually searching out for something other than a meeting or a mentor to talk to, searching out to medicate some pain. I felt a lot of, and for me, my alcoholism and medicating, you know, alcoholism, I'm in recovery now. I've been able to be in touch with my isms.
Mm-hmm.
The why behind the what. And I know that all the stuff, and I was very, the enemy exaggerated many things in my early life to where the glass was always half empty and negative things. My father was a loving father, but I was born when he was one and a half years out of the service. And although he was very loving, I always heard the most negative magnified things. And in 11 years of working with recovery guys with over 1,000 people coming through our doors, they're just very similar things we deal with. So I believe that our addiction actually comes from, we actually have what is in us before we pick up using.
Okay.
That's what I've discovered for mm-hmm. myself and our 1,000 people.
When you say you have what's inside before you pick it up, is that emotional scars, wounds? Is it a predisposition to be an addict? What specifically would it be?
It could be as simple as somebody embarrassing you in front of a school class.
Okay.
A teacher. And the enemy, I didn't know this at the time, but I've really gotten to know his tricks. He just always would say, don't address it. There was no way to address it in the 50s, 60s. I grew up in a different time than all this information is out available for recovery now. But just I'll take it. I'll put it way down deep inside, and we never have to talk about it again. That's severe with child and physical abuse.
George, that explains some of your life.
Well, you didn't have to get personal.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, getting embarrassed in front of a class. I mean, I picture that.
Really, I do it on the show every week, too.
I've got a loving,
caring, kind co-host. Yeah, I think what he's talking about is growing up in the 60s like we did, that you didn't talk about a lot of stuff. I remember my dad telling me that boys don't cry. And, you know, what do you do with your emotions? And he really didn't talk about things, and you worked hard, and, you know, you didn't have time for pain, and you shrugged it off.
Yeah.
Kind of like football. You know, you got a concussion, you took a playoff, and you went back in there. And these things come out later, don't they?
Absolutely. They manifest themselves as the enemy's always out to use the same things going through our bloodlines, too, with generational stuff. So he's tinkering with our computer even as a baby, I believe.
Well, I got the Irish Catholic thing going, and we wind up drinking and playing bad golf and killing ourselves. You know, that's kind of our lineage. But there is a genetic predisposition for our alcoholism,
yes.
And the Bible tells us that the sins are passed through the loins, I don't know, four generations. So there is set up for this. It's interesting for me to listen to this story that there was a lot of success. Here's a guy, Bill, that said, I have a problem. I'm willing to do what it takes. And for 23 years, that was it. But the root causes, they didn't get the real relationship with Christ that you have now.
Yeah.
And the seeds of sin overcame the good effort to stay clean. And that's a message we want to get out there, because if I don't have Jesus, I don't have freedom from bondage. I might be able to stop a behavior, but unless I develop that relationship, yeah, I'm not going to get the fruit of the Spirit.
I agree. Without the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're just rearranging the deck furniture on the old Titanic.
Yes.
To use a familiar expression.
Well, it's not one I've ever used, but, you know, it's timely. You know, when did that happen? 100 years ago? But it's good. You know, it's up to date.
Yeah, it happened about 100 years ago, George.
It's up to date.
Fascinating event.
It was, yeah. Did you know that they were in Ireland before they came?
Yeah, I know that, George.
Okay.
You've heard one of my talks before.
I have.
Yeah.
Bill, what you're talking about, what you talk about a lot, it's not about behavior modification. It's about developing a relationship with the living God.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why we do the show.
To develop a relationship with the living God.
Exactly, George.
And we get to see what God's doing in people's lives every
And this is a fascinating story, because he's put 23 years of sobriety in the pot, and he's kind of doing a lot of the right things. And then there's an opportunity to have an experiment 40-year-old morphine pills can't have any kick to them, right?
I don't know. Is it like wine? Does it get better?
I don't know. So all it did was fire in his brain. I wouldn't mind trying something else that's going to have a little more kick and work a little bit better, because I got my own pain right now, and I'd like to medicate it. And he's off to the races.
Oh, I thought you were personal disclosure
no,
there.
No,
I'm
not being personal.
That would have been a first. Bill, I think you're right. This is so weird. There's got to be some satanic activity here.
Satanic. You got to quit saying satanic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like the guy that plays for Dallas. Yeah, no offense there. I like the stars. But here's the guy that has all this recovery, and you find a bag with drugs in it. Oh, gosh, I think I'll do that.
I know. It's crazy. And it's 45 years old.
But I mean, he's a sharp guy, and we all do that. So that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, that I believe a lie is the truth, and I act on it.
Right.
This will be a good idea.
Right.
This will help me.
Right. This can't hurt.
Fair.
Well, the remarkable thing is, even with all my recovery is enriched, because as soon as I can admit, and I'm renewed and restored, and God has brought me unbelievably places. In fact, sometimes when I go to sleep, you know, the ceiling that he had before, I wake up and it's my floor. He's taken me another dimension. But I still admit that today, tonight, I can take a wrong turn out of the parking lot tonight and be gone. We see it happen.
Yes.
But when I do that, then I confront my brokenness and my poverty. I'm an impoverished spirit, because I think if St. Paul had to deal with his flesh and say, gosh, why do I do the things I don't want to do? I think I'm going to have to deal with some of that stuff too in Romans 7. But Romans 8 is, there's no more condemnation. So it's amazing for me to think at age 67 and 56 years trained as a Catholic military, St. John's University of Collegeville, play for Gagliardi, to come to the point of saying, you know, today God is all over me, but I admit in the flesh, in the spirit, I'm renewed and transformed. And God can speak through me to you. If when we have caribou coffee, it'll be amazing, because we both will share with each other.
Right.
But I can take
the
wrong turn out of the parking lot tonight. That's how real this spiritual warfare is.
Yeah.
All right, and anybody at tier I'll never use again, just put him on the calendar.
Mm.
He's going down.
Wow.
I love that.
That's wisdom. We're going to take a little short break here, George. When we come back, we're going to have a couple more segments with Mike. So you're listening to Real Recovery. Thanks for being with us tonight. We're awfully glad you're sticking with us. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Thanks for hanging in there with us tonight. George, I'm not saying it pays to be a little ignorant, but here we are.
We've made a career out of it.
Yes, we have. We're talking to Mike tonight. Mike's got a fascinating story of a pretty long stretch of sobriety, 23 years, and it's pretty impressive, because he was doing a lot of the right things, and he had some time in Vietnam, and I'm sure there was some medicating over there, and then he got back and got some sobriety, and then ended up getting a relapse, and then he got in touch with the way that his life could be truly transformed by the power of Christ, and the Holy Spirit came alive in his heart and transformed him, as it does his heart and his mind every day. So we asked Mike if there are a couple of verses from Scripture that he really had explode in his heart that really were kind of instrumental in having the Word of God come alive in your head. What were some of those, Mike?
Well, thank you. In our recovery ministry, there's one that we've used for the pastor. Jeff wrote that down on the first day when he said Serenity Village, when there wasn't even a house. In Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's that accountability. And that goes right into Jeremiah 3:15. I'll give you shepherds after your own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. I've got one of my shepherds right here, David, and my wife and Jackson, too. They're to be around champions. I mean, I've heard that, and I believe that for myself, is you cannot elevate yourself higher than the company you keep. And also
I can. I'm looking across the way here, and I think that one's pretty easy for us. Yeah, but you're right, aren't you? You got to hang with winners, don't you?
I'll leave you these verses for you to remind them. And that's the next verse out of 2 Peter 1:12. I'm just hitting four verses that have been special. Although you're doing well, and Bishop Earl Gilchrist uses that in his ministry that we attend on Wednesday nights at the Waters. Although you're doing well and are standing firm in truth, I'm going to keep reminding you. And that takes us into Matthew 11:16. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And we hear that in recovery. I mean, you're never offended when your drug dealer doesn't show up, and you're not offended if the liquor store doesn't have your favorite Irish whiskey, and you're not offended when you lose all your money gambling and have to live in your car for 3 weeks. But doggone it, you get in recovery, and somebody looks at you wrong. Oh, my gosh, I'm offended. So blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And that was Jesus talking to St. John the Baptist. He was in prison then, and Jesus was out performing miracles. He's wondering, why aren't you coming to rescue me? Don't be offended. Finish strong. So those are all about accountability and mentor, sponsor, the key opponents. And in our recovery, there's nobody that gets paid. Everybody is service. And the best thing going at our recovery ministry is it's operated. The house managers are cons like everybody. You can't con a con.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no manipulation or people-pleasing with a guy that's done the same thing you did. But thank you for asking. Those are four rapid-fire verses that just have really served me personally with God's touch on them.
That's great. One of the things that you talked about before we went into break was about the unforgiveness that you had and
yes.
some of the resentments. I'd like to address those a little bit here, guys, because I think that was such a key, important thing. If we just do step five, where we admit to God and to ourselves and, you know, the exact nature of our wrongs and to another human being, we don't get forgiveness of our sins. We need to go to Christ. Christ is the only one who can forgive our sins. So if I don't get forgiveness of my sins, it's very hard for me to forgive other people. And when I work step four and I look at my resentments, unless I look at step one where it says that my life's unmanageable, anytime I have a resentment, it's because I'm not thinking that God knows what he's doing. And
yes.
Here's what I mean. He's in control of everything. He allows stuff. If I have a resentment against you, Bill, I'm saying that God doesn't know what he's doing. I'm playing God, and I need to forgive you and get rid of my resentments. Because if I can get rid of my resentments towards you through Jesus, I get rid of my resentments towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we might stop drinking, but we still have that self-hatred growing up.
Brutal.
It's brutal. And after a while, it catches up. And one of the things you said before we cut to break, if you ever hear anybody say, I got this, I'll never drink again, book it.
Put them on the calendar.
I said that. I said that once.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I don't say that anymore. And I look at Matthew 6:34. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's where we get one day at a time. And there's a lot of people going to 12-step meetings that think Bill Wilson said that Dr. Bob might have come up with it, but it was written 2,000 years ago by the living God, Jesus. And I want to go to the power that's above all others, not some higher power. We want to go to the highest power. And what I'm hearing in your story is here's a guy who did the best he could, had some good advice and help from people, but unless Christ is involved in it, Bill, it's going to fall short all the time. And I'm glad that you relapsed, and I want to say why. I'm glad you survived it. He might not have gotten saved, I don't know where you were before, unless that happened. And I think God allows bad things to happen for good reasons. We look at the story of Joseph. And whenever I hear a story like that, I'm thinking, maybe you did have a relationship, maybe you didn't, but you do now. Is that fair?
Well, I knew.
Were you even listening to what he was saying? Because I wasn't.
Strangely, I.
You were. Huh?
I actually understand.
Good for you.
Him.
You have much more.
I don't know why. There's been a lot of prayer before this. So, but I mean, I knew. You know, I had such a spiritual awakening in 1978 or 9 at my first treatment, and I shared that story in local churches.
Okay.
But I don't know, I never got to know God because I never searched out who he was. I knew of him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him as I know him now. I'm very grateful for what I've gone through to get to today. But it's been a journey. But I like what you said, because this is an invitation to die to self daily.
Yeah, and I never want to question whether somebody's saved or not. That's not my job. That's God's, and theirs with God. But what you've seen, I'm sure, in your ministry, and we see it at the Salvation Army all the time, is there have been guys that have had periods of sobriety that didn't know Christ. And you can lose your sobriety, but I don't believe you can lose your salvation. And I think God allows us to go our own way if we don't get that salvation piece. I'm convinced of that. And I think one of the worst things that can happen to somebody is to be in a lot of trouble, get sober, and not get saved and think they're okay with God, because my God doesn't send people to hell.
Yeah, but it's interesting. The people that I've witnessed, and myself included, is not the person asking me to receive Jesus into my heart. It's the person who's living by example. So rather than, and in my past, I felt like I was getting hit over the head with the Bible a lot growing up. But now when I see a godly man, and not to put him on the spot, but David has been a godly man. I don't believe I ever became a man without seeing a man. I've got to be taught.
Okay.
I'm a baby in diapers in some areas of my life to this day, but I'm around people who will teach me. So I think the best action, you know, for me to help anybody I can, but is to meet anybody where you're at, where they're at, and to be an example by action. Because words can be changed and not.
Yeah, at least you're getting the message of Christ.
But absolutely,
at Serenity
scripture.
Village.
Absolutely, yep. Scripture
and that's
saving
really
grace
important.
Of God.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. But you mentioned that self-hate thing. That was just brutal for myself and. We're all in recovery, and I believe everybody is in recovery from something on this entire planet. But the just that magnified unforgiveness of self, I mean, our prayers forgive others as we forgive ourselves. And that's, I prayed to our Father all my life, but it's more alive to me now because I've forgiven myself. I can forgive others. And that just, you know, just opens up that blockage on that forgiveness channel that God has for me.
Why did you still have all those resentments and unforgiveness if you said the prayer all those years?
Because my flesh and the enemy was very active. And like I mentioned before, I believe generational curses have played a part. And Paul struggled with his flesh, and I did and still do today.
Okay.
George, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back and have one more segment with Mike. We're so glad you're listening tonight. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hang in there with us. It's that time, George. Georgie boy, it's that time. Cinnamon Girl, that means we're just minutes away from wrapping things up tonight. We're having a very interesting conversation with Mike, and Mike has had quite a story. Boy, there's redemption in his story.
There is.
There is the power of a new life and a commitment to studying God's Word, being open to being mentored, discipled, and then trying to do that for other men as well. Iron sharpens iron, one man another.
27:17, Proverbs. If you have it, you want to give it away and you want to share it. And one of the things that we always look at on Real Recovery with our guests, Bill, is are they active? This isn't something that you get and you hold on to without losing it. You got to give it away to keep it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing.
George, everybody knows that if you put something into your body, you know, when Mike put a 45-year-old morphine pill into his body, honestly, chemically, who knows what he's putting into his body, right?
Guess so.
I mean, it's just a wild card at that point. But if you put something into your body that's poisonous, for example, it will kill you. You might feel okay that what you're putting in your body is safe, but it's still poison. You can be sincere, but you'll be dead. You know. So the big question is, what are we putting in our tanks spiritually? What information are we putting into our hearts and minds and being influenced by? And I think Mike's testimony tonight is one that he wants to understand God's Word and have it put in context and then have it applied to his life.
Mm-hmm. Would you say? Exactly.
Yeah, I said exactly. Yes, and, you know, I've equated my 11-year walk as, you know, I believed I was a babe in diapers when first coming into Teen Challenge. And I believe I might be, after 11 years of service, I might be 11th grader trying out for the A squad basketball team in high school now. So I've grown a lot.
Wow, wow. You originally said that you left feeling like you were in diapers and then going to play linebacker for the Vikings, and I thought that was interesting. And then I was very confused. Were you a middle linebacker or an outside linebacker?
Somebody saw me going at Serenity Village when I was a babe in diapers ready to go play linebacker.
Okay, yeah.
And they stopped me.
Okay, good, good.
That's the help of another person.
Yeah, good,
yes.
Good. So I understand from your recent piece of work that you've got a recovery journal out called New Day, New Me, Devotions of Acceptance, Courage, and Surrender. And on the back you have Matthew 11:28 on, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a promise from God. That is just so strong. And everyone who is struggling, whether you're in an addiction or not, you probably need rest from life's stresses. George, I know I do.
Oh, gosh, yes, Bill.
Are you in that club? Well, maybe
every day, all the way. I try to avoid stress, but you know, there's a battle out there, and the bullets start flying. Maybe you come out of a rehab, you're thinking you got this deal locked down, and gosh golly, you get out there and the bullets start flying. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe somebody gets sick. There's always going to be something happening, and you need the firm foundation that only comes from Jesus Christ to stand on, Bill. And he's active with other guys. He's in the Word. He's doing projects to get people in the Word with this book. I like this a lot.
Yeah, let me give you a little excerpt from the book. This is just a line. It's on honesty and integrity. And it says, God's Spirit guides us to confront our false self and become trustworthy, open to accountability, and transparent to grow into who we really are. You can't know who you are until you know who you are in Christ.
Exactly.
Well, if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. You know, the old is gone and here's the new. But you don't know that unless you are in the Word and you're spending time with Christ and you've got other believers. As you talk about all the time, Bill, you need a community. You need support. And I love that with Serenity Village, just as iron sharpens iron, one man another. We don't do this alone. We do it together.
And, Mike, I get the feeling from just meeting you and talking to you that you have a keen sense of the enemy's presence, and you want to put Christ in front of the enemy at all times.
Yes.
You've understood that he can pounce like a roaring lion.
One of my favorite prayers is the St. Patrick's prayer, breastplate prayer, of just having Christ, all of you, in your ear, just all over you. But I had a lot of awareness of a lot of enemy activity and shadows during my depression. You know, a year I couldn't even leave the house. I was basically in pajamas that year. And then some psychiatrist at the psych ward put me on some schizophrenia medicine because I saw shadows. And, I mean, it was quite a journey. But I'm very aware that there's an enemy out to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, I've seen it even in our recovery ministry over the years. You know, they've left early and 14, 15, you know, have died of overdose. I mean, we're in the battlefield up there, and as in North Minneapolis also, and I went to an early meeting. I remember Riverside, which is a miracle for me. That was year when I first started. He said, journal out a few thoughts, and it's good to get your stuff out. So about 6 months after entering back in spring of 2005, I started writing a few of my thoughts and daring to put it on the table at Serenity Village 1 with four or five people in, and just kept writing, and never promoting. David got him for a number of years. I got him to Carlton Garborg, a wonderful spiritual leader in that industry, and he sought me out at Serenity Village Church and signed a contract that day. I was so overwhelmed, I had to have somebody listen to him as I left. And they told me later what he had said. But it's all about spiritual warfare, what the enemy's out to steal, and your active flesh, You know, if it sounds better saying sinful nature, that's exactly what it is. Out to demand and, you know, our emotions, they just, the flesh loves to make decisions for us out of emotions, just loves it. So, you know, just practical application of what we've learned, and it's been very meaningful. It's journeyed me further. I figured between this book and the 365 Daily coming out this summer, I've probably been studying and writing about over 2,000 verses. Hmm. So I'm almost not there for my wife. I'm like a foot in heaven and a foot with her, but with her it's in heaven also. But
ooh, nice save.
Yes, hallelujah. Thanks,
good
honey.
Save. Yeah,
she's still smiling. But yeah, it's and the miracle is a 67-year-old guy that survived to this point, and you know, in the middle of the chaos, even in my years of sobriety, when I was 36, I went back to mortuary science school for 2 years at the university to become a mortician. I mm-hmm. was a railroad switchman before. So for God to do something like this, and the two miraculous attempts of suicide that he saved me in the last millisecond, I can say that because it's the God in me. Otherwise, I wonder what I'm doing. But I believe it's going to be a good tool for people to use.
Well, it looks wonderful. I'm looking forward to going through it. Now, I know that I don't want to diminish in any way the year you spent at home, unable to leave your house in your pajamas. But to George, that's a year. That's a dream come true for a year.
Well.
No, it's just a regular year.
Yeah.
It's a regular year.
I'm glad to meet a fellow pajama guy. Yeah. George, it's, seriously.
These are actually Lululemon tonight. I don't want to give any confusion.
I feel very comfortable here.
You know, we don't want to minimize the rescue here, Bill.
No, we're not minimizing.
You know,
no, I think the darker, the darkness, the higher the light
yeah.
that's coming out of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really amazing. We can, you know, move by that and go, gosh, but it's like, What a story to share with other guys in recovery. Hey, I've been there. I'll walk alongside you. I did that. I was home for a year. I couldn't even get out. Couldn't even get out of my PJs. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
And I had 23 years of sobriety.
Yeah.
And in some areas, I'd say I don't. I did that. In some areas, I still say, I still do that.
Did you follow that, George?
Yes.
Okay.
Some areas, he says, I still do that. That wasn't real hard
I
to
still
follow.
Fall short is what I'm. Yeah. I still fall short is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not perfect.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, whereas for you, you'd miss that because, you know, just giving you a hard time. But lighten up.
Like what?
You're so serious tonight.
Yes, I am.
Do you have a final exam tomorrow, Bill?
Yeah, I do. And the dog ate the homework.
Yeah. No, gosh, this is so good because it brings us. There is a part of us that thinks, Bill, that we've graduated a little bit. I'd never do that again. Those are my former sins.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, George. Isn't that pharisaical? Is that too big of a word for you?
Well, it's not satanic, I don't think.
But, I mean, can't you have that be almost pharisaical? It's like, yeah. Well, I don't do that. That's not going to happen to me.
The where Pharisee you almost robes have this... are on every street corner and sometimes in my own closet. I think of, you know, how that's a great question. How do you stay... powerless? How do you pursue your recovery with the same intense pursuit you did with your addiction? The same intense way that you've gotten, you know, two boxes of chocolates hidden someplace. I mean, it's this, how do we stay powerless? And that's where Jesus asks us to take up his cross daily. And the bottom line is, I don't do it daily, but I do it a lot more than I ever have. Because I am very imperfect at that. But I can hear Jesus chuckling every once in a while just because of our effort.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mentioned that to me some time ago when I was wondering if I was doing enough in recovery. He said, just give me the 5 miles of this marathon. I'll cover the rest.
Yeah.
Give me 5 minutes. I'll make up the rest of the hour.
I like that. I think one of the things we can do is check our spiritual fitness. And the best way for me to do that is how much time am I spend working with others? I don't want to be in my head sitting there with a cup of coffee thinking about how I'm doing, how my program is. I want to get into action and
That's
get out
a great point.
And serve with other people.
Well, it's been a great hour, George. And Mike, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I also want you to know, the listeners, that, God will reach down and meet you where you're at. Exactly. And allow you to understand who he is. And you can repent of your past, and you can accept the gift that his son's death and resurrection as the payment for your sin. And you can have a brand new life, and you can no longer feel that utter hopelessness and brokenness. Anyway, that wraps up our show. George, thanks for being with us tonight. Mike and Alex, happy birthday once again. And everyone out there, have a great week. Good night, and God bless.
Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.